Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody this morning? There's a couple people that are okay. But... Who's got their Bibles? Oh, wow. That's awesome. I almost forgot mine this morning, so... I'm going to speak about expectation, and I'm so excited that Curtis is here to help me preach this morning. You know, there we go. We're gonna tear it up. God's really placed this on my heart lately about expectation. You know. Religion would tell us that, you know, you get saved and it buys your ticket to heaven and then you just sit around and wait to die and go to heaven. But there is so much more to being a Christian and to living for Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to share a few stories with you out of the Bible. I'm going to give you some testimonies about what we expect and what expectation has done for us in our lives. So... Psalms 62:5 says, "My soul, wait there only upon God, for my expectation comes from Him." He'll put that in us. He'll give us that. You know, you ask for a measure of faith, and He'll give it to you. You know, whatever He says. You know, He's our Father, and He wants to give His children everything that is good. Amen. As we would want to give for our kids. So I wrote this. I said, when we pray, we need to expect what we ask to happen, as long as it is in the will, His will. Sometimes we pray for something, and when we get the answer, it's not always for what we prayed for or the way we prayed for it. And this job that I'm doing now, I haul cars, so I started the job last January, and I thought it was going to be a job where I'd be home at least a couple times a week, you know, stop by on the way through or whatever, but it ended up where... The tariffs came on, and then it ended up where the stuff that they were bringing out of Michigan, they were putting on rail, and then we had to pick it up at a rail yard and deliver it around Toronto. So I'd leave Monday, and most of the time I wouldn't get home till Friday. And I'm like, God, I thought this was, you know, I thought this was going to be different. And so I was praying that, you know, that God would give me a job where I could, or not a job, but give me a run where I could, you know, load in Toronto and go to Michigan. You know, so I could just stop by the house, you know, once or twice a week. So I'm praying this and I'm praying it. And then all of a sudden, I get a call one day from our operations manager. He says, Norman, he says, and I'm last guy out of 40. I mean, you know, and he said, Norman, we just got this contract with Stellantis. I want to know if you're interested. I said, what's that? He said, you're just going to load in Windsor and go back and forth to Detroit all day. And you can go home every night. And you're going to make probably about $2,000 or $3,000 more a month. Are you interested? That's about the dumbest question I've ever heard. But I said, yeah, I'm interested. So I was praying that I could stop by home, you know. But God says, you know what? I'm going to fine tune that a little bit for you. It was, you know what I mean? So I think instead of praying for what we want, maybe we should pray for God's will in it. Amen. And let Him work it out, because how many times have we prayed for something and then try and get our hands in it and just mess it all up? You know, I don't know if you ever remember that first movie that the Kendrick brothers made. I can't remember what it was called now, but Flywheel. Terrible movie for acting, but it was the story. And at the end of it, he's sitting there and all this stuff is working out. And he gets to go up to walk over, and this older gentleman looks out. He says, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going to go over there. He said, why are you going to go over there and mess up what God's doing? Just leave it alone. It's all working out for you. Just leave it alone and let God work it out. So, you know, God put this on my heart this week about when Peter was walking up to the, can't wait to meet Peter. I really can't. I got a feeling that, you know, me and him are probably a little bit alike. He was a little rough, but, you know, he was walking up there and the guy looked at him and he asked for money. And Peter says, I don't have any money, but what I do have. And he grabbed him by the hand and he pulled him up and he said, get up and walk. And the Bible says that he leaped around and he went into the temple and he was jumping around, and it was a testimony of God's goodness. But instead of getting just a little bit of money that he could have a meal, God provided him a way that now he can go to work and he can support himself. You know, so he was expecting, like, and Peter actually said to him, look at us. And the Bible says that he looked at Peter expecting something. And all he thought what he was expecting was just going to fulfill that need for the day. But God fulfilled the need for the rest of his life. Amen. Why limit God to just today? Right? Why not let God get in there and provide for the rest of our lives and allow him for his will in our life? Amen. And, you know, it's just, we've just seen God do this so much in our lives that, you know, and I remember one time, probably about 15 years ago, it was just, well, maybe a little bit, we just got married. I mean, we were broke. I mean, we couldn't afford to pay attention. We were broke. And we're, you know, we're praying and asking God. And Erica was walking to the mailbox. She said, I seen a cloud the size of a man's hand. And when she got to the mailbox, there was a check in there. I think it was for like $1,800 from the government that they owed us. You know, God is so good, you know. But I believe when she seen that cloud, it just put some expectation in her heart. She didn't know it was in the mailbox yet, but she knew something was coming from somewhere. There was this lady, and there's another lady. I'm going to go there. Mark, I got to get some reading glasses because this is getting terrible. I'm getting old. Speaking of, yesterday we actually celebrated Erica's 50th birthday. I'm not 50 yet, but we celebrated my wife's 50th birthday. And I'm going to pay for that later. But, you know, it's so awesome that we actually got to celebrate her 50th birthday because a couple of years ago, when you get a cancer diagnosis, you don't know. But yesterday we got to celebrate with friends and family her 50th birthday. Cancer is nowhere to be seen. Actually, it's on the cross. Amen. So we had a real celebration. I think the kids were, I went to bed last night, but the kids were at the house till like 2 o'clock this morning, just hanging out with mom and being excited. But I got to find this here. I'm trying to focus here, but the worship, I was all messed up in worship this morning, and I'm even in the wrong book and everything. But anyway, I'll go through the story with you. What's that? No, it's actually Matthew 15. I'm in the wrong book and everything this morning, but they're all good, but I just need the right one. It's about the Canaanite woman. And Jesus went away and there withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, whatever it is. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, and he said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table." And Jesus answered and said, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed immediately. You know, it's so easy sometimes when we pray and we don't get the answer right away, or you may even get a no. And sometimes we just give up. Okay, well, I guess it's not for me. But she kept going after it because she knew that this was the only way that her daughter was going to be healed. It was the only way. And I'm telling you, when you're praying for your kids, there's something else that comes up in you that, you know, in Psalms it talks about the deep calling out the deep. You know, that the very bottom of your soul, you know, when you, I remember when DJ was born, and after he was delivered, they had him in the incubator, and they said, I believe it was called Indron, Pastor Judy, is that right? Where his chest was, yeah, and so his lungs were like 98% covered with amniotic fluid and feces. So it was like his oxygen levels were like in the 50s. And I went out and I ran out and I said to Dad, I said, something's going on in there. I don't know. So Dad walked in and the DJ's in the incubator and the nurses are working on him. And Dad walks in and they're like, work around me. They put his hand on DJ and started praying. So they brought him to the neonatal unit. I believe it was Grace Hospital at the time. And the specialist come out. And he said, Mr. Pollitt, he said, if you know somebody who could pray, you should call him. He said, because unless there's a miracle, DJ won't be here tomorrow morning. So I called my dad, man, I was a mess. I said, you know, I'm like, Dad, they just pretty much said that DJ's not going to live. What do I do? And he said, Darman, you know what to do. And at the time, I wasn't living for the Lord. I mean, I was a drug addict. I was messed up. He said, you know what to do. He said, I've put the word in you since you were that age. He said, you know what to do. So I walk into the neonatal unit, and I put my hand in the incubator, and all of a sudden, scripture starts coming up. And I'm like, so I just put my hand in there and put my hand on him. And I'll never forget what I prayed. I said, God, I don't know if I had the right to even ask. I said, but your word says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And I said, he's perfect. And I said, please don't take my son. And the next morning, I went in, and there's DJ with the bright blue eyes looking at me. And they'd done an x-ray. And the doctor said, do another one. So they'd done another one, and doctor said, he's shaking his head. And he comes over to me, and I'm like, is everything okay? He said, it's better than okay. His lungs are only 2% covered. Amen. He went from 98 to 2% overnight. And, you know, I'll never forget. I called Pastor Danny Tamburo because Dad had called him, and he called in, like, I don't know how many people, and they're all praying through the night. And he said, Darman, he said, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he says, okay, we prayed through. Let's go home. And he said, God showed me 3 Darmans on the platform ministering. So, and at the time, I wasn't serving the Lord. And we haven't got the third one up here yet, but I really believe in my heart it's going to come. Amen? So then, 3 years ago, DJ's got a little guy in the way. And Julia calls me. I'm in the truck, and Julia calls me, his sister, my son's sister. And she's like, Dad, DJ wanted me to call you. I said, what's going on? Because I knew Michaela was in labor, his wife. And he said, the heart rate's dropping with every contraction. And they think the cord's wrapped around his neck, just like it was with DJ. Well, now I'm serving the Lord. And now I know what authority I have. And now I know what I'm expecting to come out of this. I mean, I went to war after. You mess with my kids, you mess with my grandkids, man, I'm going to tear it up. And I went to war in the truck, and then I'll never forget, I was just coming into Toledo, and I get a text on my phone. He has arrived, and he's safe. Yeah. You know, but I expect that when I pray, God's going to hear me, and God's going to do what he said he would do. We've got promises all the way through here that, you know, when we take this and we believe what is written, you know, and really put it, like, that's why Jesus said, if you've got the faith the size of a mustard seed, you know, once we really take this and own it, you know, that's why I love, you see kids, when you tell a kid something, man, the faith is just, that's it. God's got it. I'll never forget when I was a little boy, my chore was bringing in wood. I had to bring in enough wood because we had it in Newfoundland, we heated our house with firewood. So I'd have to bring in wood every day. Usually it was with Dad behind me kicking me in the rear end to get me to do it, but I had to bring in the wood every day. And so there's one day I'm bringing in the wood and a piece of wood falls on my toe. And I mean, my toe just swelled up and turned black right away and it was bleeding. And so I went in and then mom prayed for me and I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm going to go bring in the rest of the wood. So dad gets home. He was out working on his boat and he comes in, he had a headache. So he just figured he'd just go home. So he walks in and he looks down. I said, look, Dad, and my toe's all black and purple and bleeding. And I said, Mom prayed for it, and now it's okay, so I could bring in the wood. Dad didn't even take off his boots. He turned around and went right back to work. but that was it. Mom told me that we got faith, we're going to believe it, and I mean, it didn't hurt no more. So I was good. But you know, when we get a hold of what's written in the Word, I hate it. I hate even calling it a book, because this is more than a book. This is alive. I mean, you can't read this and not feel something, feel it alive, feel it burning in you, you know. And the other day, I was listening to a guy, and he was talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And I don't know if anybody, I think Pastor Rod or somebody shared this before, but in Malachi, it talks about how there's a son of righteousness coming with healing in his wings. And he was saying that the word for wings in that was kanaf. And that word kanaf is translated either wings or fringe or the edge of a garment. So when she read that, she knew that this is the son of righteousness that was promised. So that's why she knew all I have to do is touch the hem of his garment and I'll be healed. You know, she pushed through that crowd. I mean, I don't know what would have happened if they would have realized who she was or why being in public, but she took the chance because she knew, because she'd read the word and found it in her heart and thought to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And with faith, she stepped out and she got her healing. And Jesus turned around, and you know what? It's the only place in the Bible he looked at her and he called her daughter. It's the only one. Because for 12 years, she'd been isolated. She's had nobody love her, nobody hug her, nobody speak life into her. She was an outcast of society. But in that moment, Jesus took her and called her daughter. Can you imagine what that not only done to her body for the healing, but what that done to her in her heart, that now I'm finally have connection after 12 years of isolation. You know, and I don't even believe that we realize, you know, the law back then was almost life and death. If you broke the law, there was no mercy. But in that moment, Jesus hadn't even died yet, and he was showing her grace. You know, can you just get a hold of that this morning? That Jesus just showed her grace. She was healed and able to return back to her family. I don't know if she had kids or whatever, but if she had kids, she wouldn't have been able to see them for 12 years. She wouldn't have been around them. No communication with family, parents, nothing. But she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And how many times have we been in that place to where it's almost like it's do or die right now? And how many times has he come through? Well, for all of us, he has, because you're all here. And if you lived the way I did years ago, it was a steady thing every day. I remember Pastor Jeff said, when Dorman got saved, he said about six angels sat down and went, oh, thank God. I still keep them busy some days, but not near to the extent that they did. I got more. Jay said I had to have notes, so I got like all kinds of them. So we get stuck. We'll just go backwards. And then in Matthew 10, it talks about blind Bartimaeus. I love this story. The Bible says that he walked into Jericho, and then he walked out of Jericho. So there was nothing worth talking about in Jericho. But as he was walking out, there was a blind man, blind Bartimaeus. And he asked what was going on, and somebody said, there's Jesus. And he started to call out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. And they kept telling him, shh, be quiet. He doesn't have time for you. And the more they told him to be quiet, the louder he got. Until finally Jesus stopped. And he turned around and he called. He said, oh, they said, okay, now they're all joining in. You know what I mean? At first it was be quiet. Now the master wants you. So now they're all joining in. So he came over. But the Bible says when he got up, he threw away his cloak. Because that robe identified him as a blind man. But before he even got his miracle, he'd had enough faith to throw that away and say, I ain't going to need that thing anymore after today. Amen? And he ran for Jesus, and Jesus looked at him. He says, what do you want? He said, I just want to see. And Jesus healed him. But he went after it. He wouldn't stop yelling. He wouldn't stop going after what he needed. And I just love that part where he threw away that cloak. He was like, I don't need that no more. You ain't wrapping that around my neck no more. And you know, anybody who's been in recovery and different things, you know, coming out of addictions, you know, I'm not saying this because I want to, you know, put down the 12 steps because they worked. They've done a real good job for me. But I will not go to a room and sit down and say, my name is Dorman and I'm a drug addict. I'll never do it. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I will not tie that around my neck. I will not put that label on me. I'll go in and say, I'm Dorman. I'm a recovered drug addict. They don't like that, though, because, you know, they figure once a drug addict or an alcoholic, you're always a drug addict and alcoholic. But they don't know the power of the cross. And they don't know that, you know, when you walk in real liberty and freedom in Jesus, I don't need to sit there and confess that over myself anymore. I'm free. And, you know, not saying that I haven't had, you know, things try and come up and temptations come, but I remember it's either, you know, well, I can't get away with nothing with Erica because she knows what I'm thinking before I think it, and then she knows what I'm doing before. So it'd be a lot easier if I didn't have a Christian wife. But, I mean, anyways, it'd be a lot harder. But, you know, I won't do that because I know that I got my miracle. And it's been, what, almost any, how long has it been? How long have we been married? 16 years. I knew that one. So it's been 18 years, almost 19 years, that right there, God delivered me. And, you know, Cornelius, I just want to say what you said the other night when we were out here. I'm not going to throw your stuff out there, but that was so profound, what you shared the other night about decision making. Man, I went home. I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, this guy's got it. This guy, that was awesome. I just want to encourage you with that. That was just incredible. You know, and sometimes, you know, we have going after it. Hold on. Getting a little dry. Sometimes when we go after it, there's actually guidelines in the Bible for how to do it. Can you believe that? And it says in James, is it James? I think it's, yes, James 15. If any of you be sick, call for the elders of the church, anoint him with oil, and they will be healed. It's kind of laid right out there. So when I was in Texas. I was in El Paso, Texas. I was broke down there and stuck down there for 5 days, I think it was. So I was actually flying home for Father's Day weekend. And I was just sitting down on the plane, and Erica called me, and she just got the diagnosis. And I mean, I couldn't talk to her. The plane was getting ready to take off. I'm like, honey, I got to go. So I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to God all the way, you know. So first thing I done when I got home was I anointed her with oil. We prayed. We cursed that thing. Sent it back to hell where it came from, and started on the journey. And 6 months later, only 6 months. I mean, it was a long 6 months, but 6 months later, the oncologist walked in and he went, it's all gone. But I really believe that, you know, it was, you know, praying. And I'm not saying I walked through that perfectly. I was a mess for a little while, but after, but God still honored that prayer. And he healed Erica. She got a miracle. And she's been back, I don't know what, two or three times since now. And they've said, no, you're good. And so, you know, she just wanted to see her kids get married. So now we're going to wait and see the grandkids get married. You know, and so I just really wanted to encourage you with this morning. That when you pray, don't just settle for not getting answered. Because I really believe that while the Bible says, you know, to approach the throne boldly, that doesn't mean casually. He's still God. But he says to come boldly to the throne with what we ask. You know, and as our Father, he wants to do everything for us. Actually, it says in Ephesians, exceedingly above and beyond is what he wants to give us. Amen? So we don't have to settle for second best. We don't have to settle for, you know, we've been grafted in. You know, I was talking to, I think it was my brother the other day, and he was talking about a friend of his who had adopted a little girl. And she'd found out she was adopted, and she feels now she's dealing with abandonment issues. And so he's like, says to Matt, he's like, well, I don't know what to do. And Matt says, well, just explain to her that, you know, we had the other children, but we chose you. You know, and that's exactly the same way it is with our Heavenly Father. He chose every one of us. He grafted us in. We are joint heirs with Christ. So everything that God has for Jesus, he has for us. You know, we're joint heirs. Like, you know, everything that Pastor Gary has for Jay, she has for me. Right, Jay? It's an ongoing joke with me and Jay. I keep telling him I'm after his inheritance because I call her mother, but he gets a little bent out of shape, but we're going to walk him through it. It'll be good. You know, I was so excited this morning to share this with you because this has been burning my heart. I mean, the past few weeks of what, you know, we've seen God do so much in our family and you know, and I'm really believing, you know, we were told years ago that all six of our children would be in a ministry with us. And right now, if you look at it, it's not looking good. But the other day, DJ texts me, and I mean, he's not serving. He's got an amazing, both of him and his wife have an amazing call to lead worship. And she loves to sing worship. When she was pregnant with Jamie, she would actually put headphones on her belly, worship music. And he would just settle down. And then after he was born, whenever she wanted him to have a nap, she'd just play worship music, and he would settle right. And this kid's like a spin top. But she put on worship music and say, okay, Jamie, it's time for a nap. And his little body would just settle right down and he'd go to sleep. You know, so there's worship there, you know, but, and I really believe that, you know, and I've got a son-in-law, Hunter, and he's not serving the Lord yet. And you guys met him at, you know, he's a big guy and everything else, but he's got such a call on his life to be a youth pastor. And I mean, I drive down the road and I call these gifts out and all of our kids that, you know, they would serve the Lord and they would step into it. And I know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's like, but you're like, God, you can just give me a printout when this is going to be, you know what I mean? So I can just kind of relax or push harder on this, but he doesn't do that. But you know, I keep going after it because I expect that word from Pastor Johnny, Prophet Johnny. When he looked at us and he says, all six of your children will work in the ministry with you. So, I mean, every day I go after that. And I will not let go of that word. I don't, never. And we're just going to just keep, you know, as yesterday was awesome to be around with all the, I love it when the kids are all at the house and you can just, I'll just sit there in the chair and just watch them all, you know, I just love it. I can't wait till we've got three grandkids right now. We've got another one on the way this month, another a granddaughter in Newfoundland. And so we're just praying that she has an easy delivery and the baby's healthy. She won't tell me what she's naming it yet. It's a big secret, but we're just anticipating and expecting God to do more and more every day. Amen. So, you know, I really believe, you know, living a life of worship has really helped me. I know when Erica was going through the cancer, she'd go to chemo and she'd come home and she'd be laying on the bed and it would just wipe her out. But she'd have her phone there and she'd just have worship music playing, just steady worship. And I really believe that living a life of worship really brings you to a different place. You know, like I said before, it may not change the situation you're in, but it'll change you in the situation. And we would worship. I listen to worship all the time in the truck. And I know I don't look like the type of, you know, jumping around worshiping and stuff, but there's a difference in being in worship and listening to worship. You know, and it is so easy for me to say, just, you know, live a life of worship. But when you make that a part of your daily routine, you know, like when I'm in the car, sometimes I'll listen to different stuff. And now we've got a new pickup, so I've got satellite radio, and it's got Hair Nation on there, all the 80s rock. So I try not to listen too much, but I'm not totally transformed yet. So, but then I go back to worship. I'll listen to a couple songs. I'm like, oh, man, then I got to go back to worship. It's just, you know, where God's got me right now. And I'm telling you, when you live in that, you know, it's just his presence is always there. You don't have to go looking for him. I remember one time a friend of my dad's called me. He was a pastor who stepped out of ministry and he was doing something else. And he called me. He's like, so dad called me. He said, pastor's going to call you. And he wants to know if, you know, you got a word for him or whatever. I said, all right. So I just got home from work and I hadn't had a shower yet. I hadn't eaten yet. So I'm. And that time of the day, I'm not the most patient individual. So he calls me. He's like, yeah, your dad says you hear from God and you could have a word for me. I said, yeah, I do. And he says, so what do? We like pray in the spirit for a while. And see, I said, no, I've already got it. I got to go have a shower. God says you need to go back to your original word and do what you're supposed to do. And that's it. He's like, oh, so do we need to pray for a while? I said, I just told you, I'm going to have a shower. And this is what God told me to tell you. So go back to your original word. Do what he called you to do, and things will start working out. Oh, okay. All right. I'm like, all right, talk to you later. Got to go. But, you know, and it's just, we don't have to complicate the gospel. We don't have to complicate what God wants to do. You know, you read it, believe it, and let God do the rest. Amen? If we're going to wrap it up with anything, we just read it. Believe it and do it. Amen? Amen. So, Father, this morning, I just pray that you would release a measure of faith for everybody that's listening to this message. That, Father, you would release a measure of faith for everybody that's praying for their children, believing for their children, calling the prodigals home. That, Father, they would expect, as that prodigal's father stood and watched the horizon for his son, that, Father, you would put that same expectation in our hearts, that what we need and what we've asked for, that, God, you're already working on it. So, Father, I just pray right now, and I release the father's heart, that you would just minister to us, your children, this morning. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.